Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. And for this episode, we're gonna cover some questions. We're gonna talk about some back issue purchases, and we'll then get to the weekly reads, which I'm gonna try to knock off a month. But I haven't been doing these weekly like I've always wanted to, and I always want to get caught up, but I don't think it'll ever happen. Because what happens is, every time I have a break, I could do one or two, like a light week, and then work kicks on, and then it gets really busy, and I can't do any of it. And yeah, it's just a constant struggle to try to get this podcast done. But this is a 3-day weekend. And I'm gonna try to record two episodes and keep one in my pocket so I have one to release and then see what I can do about the following week. But I know I have a couple of weekends where I'm gonna have to work. So it's going to be a little weird the next couple of weeks 'cause as I was telling Drew in his podcast, because I was on an episode of Comics for Fun and Profit, is he says, "You record a lot of podcasts. You put out a lot." And he was naming off all the podcasts I do. And I'm like, yeah. And sometimes I do that one infrequently, blah, blah, blah. But I was telling him, he's like, "When do you find time to record all that?" And I'm like, "It's just Sunday. It's all on Sunday." But if I work a weekend, it changes things up a bit. But anyway, what's happening in the world today? This is the first week that DC has started putting out a print copy again of DC Connect. So you not only could get your Marvel previews, you can get your DC Connect and your Image previews. So I'm glad to see that back in print. The other thing I noticed, my shop got shorted, and I would have picked up the DC Connect from there, and DCBS didn't have that on the order form, so I couldn't add it. But I will be getting it from my comic shop, I think, going forward, a physical copy. But the other thing I was really happy to do, instead of like downloading those awful, god-awful PDFs, is I noticed on the DC Infinite application, if you're a subscriber, they release DC Connect there, and it's got like that panel scroll, and it's a lot nicer than if you're just reading a PDF. So I'm much happier to pull that up when we're going over previews and stuff like that. So that's a neat little thing. The other thing I've been struggling with, and I'll probably talk about more in another episode, not this particular one, is just space. Space, lack thereof, buying too much variants, filling a short box per week. That was getting out of control. And then the collected editions are just stacking up in the bedroom, and I have no place to put them. Yeah, there's a lot of space issues that I'll have to talk about in a future episode, and I've taken some measures, at least minor measures, to mitigate a little bit of that, and we'll talk about that in the next episode. But anyway, let's get into some recent purchases. I haven't done a lot of back issue stuff. But I had an order come in from Aaron Myers, and I picked up two G.I. Joes. I always pick up the G.I. Joes when the opportunity arises, the first series. I got picked up 137 and 138, and it looks like 138's in a resealable bag, and it has a trading card inside. So these are nice pickups. I like to pick up G.I. Joe when I get a chance, and I also like to pick up Silver Age Spider-Man when I get a chance. And I picked up number 43. I think this is the second Rhino. Number 47, which is a Kraven appearance. This might be a second or third appearance. I picked up issue 186, and around this time, when comics were coming out in 1978, so was the TV show, because it says Marvel's TV sensation. So that was the Nicholas Hammond TV show. Didn't have as much success as the Incredible Hulk for some reason. Could have been the special effects, maybe, but it still was an interesting plot. We got issue 188, which features Jigsaw. He looks terrified, shooting at Spider-Man, and the spider signal is on him. This is interesting because it's the first appearance of Jigsaw. When you say, "Oh, what Jigsaw? Isn't he a Punisher villain?" And that is right. But his first appearance is in Amazing Spider-Man 188. We have Captain America Annual. It says King Size Special number one, but it's his first annual. Yeah, I got that. Anytime I get a chance to get closer to finishing my Captain America run, I jump at it. We have a 12-cent X-Men comic. This is number 25, featuring the first appearance of El Tigre. Yep, he's coming to the movies soon, so this is gonna go up. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know if he is or not. Then I picked up X-Men 69. This is a 25-cent reprint issue. Has Mimic on the cover. I always liked Mimic because he is sort of like the super adaptoid android who can, does the X-Men. Mimic can mimic like all the X-Men powers. So he's got flight from Angel. He's got the optic blasts from his eyes, and the feet of the beast, strength of the beast, I guess you could say. And he's throwing ice. Icicles at everybody. So yeah, he's one of those guys, kind of like a Mazo on DC. Nice pickup. I was missing X-Men 143. This features Kitty Pryde and a brood hanging over it and a Christmas tree in the background. I don't know why I'm missing this one, because I remember this one distinctively. And having read this, and it just wasn't in the database, so I may have two copies, but I just didn't record it, or I may have read my brother's and thought I had a copy, but I had to pick that up. Also trying to complete my Invincible Iron Man run, and this is from the first series, Iron Man number 60. It's a 20-cent cover price. Features the Masked Marauder. We then go to the Silver Age with Incredible Hulk number 108, and this features the Mandarin, and it features Nick Fury, Agent of Shield. So that should be interesting. We also have a 15-cent comic from number 136. This guy's he's fighting Zeron the Star Slayer. So, got Incredible Hulk number 140 and another 15-cent comic. The Brute That Should Love at the Heart of the Atom. And it says Harlan Ellison strikes again. Hulk, you have ruled this world long enough. Now it is time to die. We have another Silver Age comic. We have Avengers. Number 51. Now, this one has Goliath on the cover, because that's Hank Pym coming back as Goliath. Features Hawkeye, Thor, Iron Man, and Wasp on there. I had this comic a long, long time ago, because I traded a Marvel team-up, I believe it was, for this issue. From a guy named Edward in elementary school. And Edward, I don't know if he's in the comics anymore, but he's my friend on Facebook. We went to elementary school together. And his father had this suitcase of Silver Age gems and fantastic high price cover. At the time, they weren't real high priced. And they were a little bit red. They were worn, they had been red a lot. But I traded for some of his collection and read them at the time, and I was like, man, this ain't no, this is like Stan Lee telling me a story in a bunch of panels, and I like the modern comics, which I think were like 30 cents at the time, or yeah, probably 30 cents, maybe 25 cents, and I was like, I'd read those and then I trade them as soon as I finished reading them. So I traded that one back, but now I got a copy. We have Avengers 52. That's the volume one. It's the first appearance of the Grim Reaper. And then I got some Masters of the Universe. I got Masters of the Universe number four from Marvel Star Comics. And I think I only have number one, number two, and four. I don't have too many of these. And then there's a Masters of the Universe Image. This is the second release. I think this particular release rolls into the cross-gen Masters of the Universe, which I think said cross-gen Enterprise. I think it had like a CGE emblem in the left-hand corner. But these were the Val Staples, and they look really cool. I've always been anytime I could pick up an old image, I jump at it, and I would like to have all of the Masters of the Universe. I do have the, I think I have the first appearance of He-Man in comics, which I think is DC Comics Presents. But I'm lacking in the image, and I would love to get those cross-gen. I have a full run of cross-gen, but I started to drop off the licensed properties. So that's where I'm lacking. I am going to pour myself a glass of Tropicana Pineapple Mango, just so I can wet my whistle while I'm talking my ass off over here. But that wraps up the comics that I purchased from Aaron Myers. I have a couple queued up for him now that I usually wait till I get a couple $100 worth and then close out my account and say ship them. And that's how I've been working with Aaron on this stuff. But that's delicious. So that will lead me into a couple of questions. I'll talk a few questions. I had a water here. I could have drank that. Probably have been less sugar. But let's jump into some questions. And I gotta get to the bottom. And I think the first question comes from Glenn Clark. And he asks, do you remember the first comic that made you the way you are today? What one book turned you into the collector that you are? So prior to this book, I was getting comics off the spinner rack at the drugstore and then trading them, so I didn't have that many. And I wasn't an avid collector, but I think when I became a collector, it was when I picked up Defenders, a Marvel comic, believe it or not. My first comic I bought was, with my own money, was DC Comics Ghosts. But I wasn't an avid collector at the time. But anyway, I never get the issue, and I should know it, 'cause it's the Sons of the Serpent. But it turned me into an addict, and I thought it was in the 20s. Yeah, it's in the 20s. So, I believe my first issue, that got made me a comic book addict that I picked at addict. I picked it up at the drugstore, and it might not have been the drugstore by my house. I think it might have been, there was like a location near my grandma's house. My grandma and grandfather used to take care of me when my mom was working, and it was a kind of like another drugstore out there. And I picked up Defenders number 24. So I had a lot of comics prior to this. A lot of coverless comics, a matter of fact, because I have already told the story of how my dad, we didn't have a lot of money, but my dad would take me to the dump and we'd dump our trash. We didn't have garbage service back then. We had to take our own trash to the dump. And we'd throw our bags and we'd find these boxes, sealed boxes of comic books. And these comic books had the cover ripped off because back in the day, comics were refundable if you didn't sell them, but you had to send back to the publisher or the distributor the top half of the cover, sometimes the whole cover. And what did they do with the remnants is after they ripped off the cover, they throw them in the garbage dump. And me and my father would go out there, and my dad point these out. He's like, "You want to read comics?" And I was like, "Yeah." I was like 5. It was like kindergarten age, and they kind of showed me how to like read really well, as I started reading these comics, and they were all coverless. But later on in life, I started picking up, with allowance if I had it, or if my grandfather would buy me something, or my mom and dad at the drugstore. And the first one that I think I bought that I realized that comics weren't just like a done in one story and then I go find another one. I realized that these were sequential stories and I sort of wanted to collect the books because I love this so much. And it was Defenders number 24, and it features Nighthawk, Yellowjacket, Valkyrie, and Doctor Strange all tied up in these snake garments because they were captured by the Sons of the Serpent. Don't confuse the Sons of the Serpent with Hydra. Hydra is more tech. Sons of the Serpent were like white supremacists, and they made no statement to make you think otherwise. They hated any people of color or monster of color. And this one had, it says, Daredevil, Power Man, the Sons of Satan, 5 fearsome defenders, and 3 startling guest stars, the Sons of the Serpent. What more could a Marvelite ask for? And it has the Son of the Satan. And I was like, holy shit, we got a good guy, and he is the son of the devil? Like, I was already like perplexed. I was like, because I was going to catechism and all that as Catholic, getting ready to get communion, which was later. But I was like, wow, that's awesome. And then you have a guy called Daredevil, and I was just infatuated with it. And the Hulk is on the cover along with Luke Cage, and I was like, I have never seen these heroes before. Yes, I've seen the Hulk. I have seen Spider-Man and, Captain America. But who are these characters? Who's this girl with the sword? Who is this guy that has this cool costume that can shrink? It's Yellowjacket, but I didn't know it was Hank Pym. Nighthawk, has another one of my favorite costumes, Doctor Strange. I didn't know at the time, and I was like, man, they're fighting these hate mongers. Like, and they're getting beat. And I realized at that point that this number 24 was so much more than anything around it because it starts at issue 22 and I think goes to 25. So this was written by Steve Gerber was Sal Buscema art, and I love this arc. I mean, it was just, and I realized at that point that there that comic books were so much more. They were sequential, they were soap operas. I needed to read them. DC was more sort of like a done in one, and these Marvels kind of taught me, hey, you can collect comic books. And then finding issues back then was a bitch. So I had two pieces of the story and didn't finish the story until many years later when I was able to get to a comic shop. But when I did run across the Defenders on the spinner rack, I would always want to pick them up because these were the heroes that I wanted to read. And then it was like Justice League, around that same time, Adam Strange would be in a crossover with them, and then they'd have those crises on Infinite Earths. And I remember there was an early, like, the death of Mr. Terrific. So there was a lot of issues that were just grabbing me, and I was getting as, I realized that comic books were collectibles. Like, I wanted to collect them and read them. So I started getting stuff, but I didn't have a lot of money at the time, so I wasn't like the avid collector I am today. I was more like I'd get whenever I had the opportunity, I'd get what I could. And that's what kicked me off into collecting though. And then I think I became a hardcore collector when comics were like 60 cents. And I remember picking up John Byrne's Fantastic Four and loving the hell out of that. And at the same time, you had Bob Layton on Hercules and all kinds of different stuff. And you could say that my heart, the introduction to my heart of comics was DC, but what really hooked me were some of these Marvel books. And that's the same time that Chris Claremont and Frank Miller put out Wolverine. And at that point, I made the transition around that 60-cent mark because I had there was another work friend of mine in middle school, and I didn't know have I had no idea that this guy Michael collected comics, no idea. But for whatever reason, after school one day, I went to his house. I don't remember what for. And I went into his room and I saw these boxes. And I'm like, what the fuck are these boxes? And I saw they were full of comics. And I said, can I open this? And he said, yeah, I collect comic books. I like to read comic books. And I was like, I had no idea. And I pull out like a Marvel fanfare and I'm like, what the fuck is this? The pages are so shiny. I've never seen this at the drugstore. What's going on? And he says, yeah, you could go to, I can't remember if he told me he went to Don's Paperback Books. I think that's where he introduced me to Don's Paperback Books. And then I started going there. And I didn't have a pull list, but I'd go there. My parents would take me. I'd mow a lot of lawns at that time in middle school, and I would buy a lot of comic books from there. I'd still go to the drugstore because the drugstore was in walking distance, but this was like miles and miles away. It was like a 25-minute drive from where I was in the South Valley. And I discovered that, and I started going there with my brother, and that's when the back issue stuff just started to go haywire, 'cause I was like, what is this group? I remember going through the back issues and finding the champions, and man, if I could find characters that I've never seen before, that was where I wanted to spend my time. I was like, yeah, I've seen Spider-Man, I've seen Superman, I've seen Batman, but what the fuck is this? They have a guy called Hercules, And then a guy with his freaking head on fire, and they're on the team, and they I like the teams that you're like, why are they a team? They like made no sense. The champions, and you have two X-Men, which I did know. I knew of Angel and Iceman, so I knew two of the members. And this was around when comics were 60 cents, but I wanted these back issues, which were 20, 25 cents. You know, the Champions was 20, 25 cents. And Black Widow was their only female member. And I remember just getting so excited that there were these boxes of back issues. And that was the explosion. But I would say that Defenders number, 22, actually, sorry, 24 is what got me into collecting. Thanks for the question. I think I'll do one more question, and then I'll save the others for another day. So Chris Pfeiffer asks, any writers or artists fairly new in comic scene grabbing your attention? I know that you mentioned Matt Lununski recently. Yeah, he's definitely one. He's doing Crimson Flower, and he just released a trade paperback Static from Dark Horse, and that came in Lesniewski. Yeah, he's definitely one. The other one is that has my attention. I don't know if he has anybody else's. I think Joe Crawford reads it. I don't know anybody else that reads it, but there's Ninjas and Robots, and I just love this guy's artwork, Ninjas and Robots, and his name is Eric Klaus. He's the writer and artist, and that's spelled Erik and then Klaus. Those are some of the recent ones. Behemoth has had some winners, like with Necrofarious. I can't remember how to spell it. Necro. Fair. I can't find it right now, so I can't look up his name. But the writer and artist on that's a black and white comic from Behemoth. Actually, I just have it. I know I read this thing. Just Necromorphous. That's what it is. So let me get the names on that. Necromorphous. Yep. It's spelled with an F on the Morphous. That is Gabriel Arenas, and the artist is A-B-E-L. Abel. One named artist. How about that? That's a really good one. There's a lot, but that's what comes to mind. I mean, there's the generation that everybody knows, like the Lemire and Matt Kent, and like I love those creators. Say it from a Kickstarter perspective, one of the most consistent writers is Marcel Dupuis, and then he gets artists that I really like. So he's a name that I like all his stuff. So I always look when he's got something new coming out and try to get that. And that's from Evolution Comics, sometimes called No Sleep. Because not he doesn't do all of it. Sometimes he just acts as a publisher. But the ones he writes are really, really good. So there's a couple of names. I know a lot more will come to mind. But they're more names that have been in the business for a while. And Lesniewski's been around a while, but not like mainstream. Now he's like, when I say mainstream, I mean Dark Horse. He kind of did his own thing. There's the one guy I like a lot that does. He's very indie, and what is He does the derelict. He does writing and art for this. How do you spell derelict? All these words that I don't know how to spell. Is it derelict? 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 I can't find it. I'm such a bad speller. How do you spell derelict? Man, I'm trying all kinds of combinations, and maybe I don't have it in my database. That's a possibility. Yeah. Because I'm not finding it unless it's DAR. Dare. There is a dare. Daredevil. Dare. I can't find it. And I follow this guy on Twitter. I wish he would do more. But I do like his stuff. So hopefully that gives you a list of some of the stuff. And then we'll get to the weekly reads. I'm going to try to cover 4 months, starting with, not 4 months, 4 weeks, starting with March 29th through April 4th, 2021. That week we read a pathetic 19 comics. I probably took in about 85 comics and read 19. And there were 5 Kickstarters, 1 Marvel, 11 DC, and 2 Behemoth. So we'll start with, oh, no 2 out of 5s, no 3 out of 5s. They're all 4 out of 5s and 5 out of 5s. Good week for reading comics. We had a Kickstarter, and it was called Four Chambers of Fright. This was a like a little anthology comic in color. I liked it quite a bit. A group of kids find an untouched lake in the middle of nowhere, and it's not a happy lake. It kills everybody. There's a story of two travelers who are supposed to go on the road a road trip to nowhere, and they decided to turn around, and they were hunted by the host. So it's dark humor horror. It's almost like they were driving into a bad death, but they turned around, so they were trying to avoid that death, and then the host got mad, the host of the comic book. So it was very strange. But I gave it a 4 out of 5. I liked it. We then read, this is a second read for the DC Spotlight, Dead Man Dead Again, number 1 through 5. And a dead man is called upon by Ramakrishna to guide heroes who have died into the afterlife. And these are like major events that Dead Man's going through. We found out one of his old villains, Dalius Caldera, is behind it and is trying to transfer his dying soul into a body of Superman with the help of Neuron. So there's some big names. And you go through like, if I remember correctly, Crisis on Infinite Earths with the Flash, the death of Superman, I think maybe even the Coast City, like all these major events. And Dead Man's going along for this ride. Caldera betrays Neuron, but that does not work, and it turns out to be a battle between Dead Man and Neuron with the help of a small person detective that he knew back from the circus. So what I mean by small, he's one of those small people that was at the circus that ends up sort of saving Dead Man and helping him out. But it's he's guiding these heroes like the Flash after his death in Crisis on Infinite Earths. It wasn't Hal Jordan. I'm trying to remember all the ones that. Oh, it's Robin from when Joker killed him, killed Jason Todd. So it's like events like that where a major hero died and Deadman's getting placed into these events because of Neuron and that villain, and he's having to deal with it. Stealth Hammer is by a friend of mine. It's a Kickstarter. His name is Ryan. He runs the Star Joe's podcast. He wrote a comic book inspired by his wife and kind of made her the main character of the comic book. And it's like a sort of all ages comic book. And it's a lab experiment gone awry. Grants Jamie, I think that's how you pronounce his name, it's JAMI, powers of stealth. And these stealth fists. Her father was the scientist, gives her the utility belt, and she goes out to take on her evil uncle. So it's a fun all ages comic book. He did a really good job. He got very professional his first time out. I hope I'm that lucky when I do the guesser, but he had a lot of success. He had a media doing it in his local town promoting the book. He's already done a couple conventions on it. So it's nice to see a fellow podcaster and friend that I've met multiple times at, I think Baltimore is where he's usually I've met him. He's actually drove me one time from the airport to the con, and then after the con, I remember they had a hotel and he invited me, Daryl and Barb, and I can't remember if there was somebody else with us. Maybe, no, it wasn't Bomer because he doesn't go to Baltimore. Could have been Alan. I don't remember, but we all went to their place, and they had it was fun, talking comics, and he always brought some like giveaways to those conventions, and they would give away stuff, and he also went to Heroes. I'm pretty sh No, it was Baltimore, because I think Chris Campbell is close to Baltimore. And I remember meeting the Star Joe's guys at Campbell's house because there used to be a pre-con there. And I Knutson was there. He had to have been there. But lots of good memories, and I was glad to see him do a comic book. We had from Behemoth Comics, Hotline Miami. This comic's really good. I really need to finish it. But this is based on a video game. I had no idea about it. In the 90s or 80s, there was computer game. But the rabbit gets help from another killer who go after the Russians. It's like this suitcase that was given by organizations to these troubled adults. They're not always like perfect citizens, and they're told to go kill these Russians and they go off and do it. And this one is quite the bloodbath at a rush bunch of Russians at a party. And he slaughters everyone except for one kid. Then there's another Kickstarter called Jengar and the Shred. This was had a Michael Linsner cover, and it has like a jungle girl on the cover with a T-Rex in the back. How could you not back that Kickstarter? Is like Adam and Eve in the world of dinosaurs. Lucifer escapes heaven. And a dome is put around the planet. Jengar loses her lover because she's like Eve, and later befriends a T-Rex who becomes a very loyal and deadly companion. Not deadly to her, but deadly to her enemies. We then have Against the World 1 and 2. This, we were speaking about Marcel Dupuis. This comes from his company. Really like this one. Against the World, number 1 and 2. Two parents try to save their dying child. It falls into the fantasy realm of a comic. Trying to sell their dying child by taking the child to a warlock who uses the Gem of Life to save her. Many years later, the queen wants the girl that was saved to sacrifice herself to the planet to save the entire world. The girl is rescued by a witch doctor and a rebel fighter that lost his people. He has the ability now to teleport them, but it was a really good series. The only downside to Kickstarters is you might wait a while to finish it, like a year or two for the next issue. Sorry, I had to take a drink. We then get Rorschach from DC Comics number 1 through 5. That's a 5 out of 5. We jumped into the 5 out of 5s. Been loving this. And most some of you guys will know me for not liking Tom King books that much. I think so a lot has changed, and I have been really enjoying Tom King, whether it be Strange Adventures or Rorschach right now. And I'll definitely read the Supergirl. I haven't started the Batman Catwoman yet, but I'm looking forward to jumping into that. But I've been really liking his work, and I've been like 100% behind all of the Watchmen books. And I fall into the weird camp. I think I'm an exception to the rule where I like Before Watchmen and this kind of stuff. And Doomsday Clock better than the actual source material. But you got to remember that I didn't read Watchmen. I appreciate Watchmen for the time that it came out and how dense it was and how world building it was. But I like a lot of the follow-ons a lot more. I got to close my mail because I keep getting mail messages. So let me just close those. I had to write to Comic Base today because I like to do an update on Friday because I do inventory on Sunday, and I like to have the latest comic codes, you know, the UPC symbols and stuff, so when I scan everything in, it's all there. But since the first, I haven't been able to do an update. I'd get this message saying unable to retrieve the update file. It may still be in the process of being posted. Please try again in several minutes. If this problem persists, reboot your computer and try again. Well, I had over the course of a couple hours, I rebooted twice. I tried. Normally, your downloads come off this thing called Sidekick, and Sidekick runs in the background when the database isn't up. And it goes and it does a couple things. It does stuff for you if you're selling comics to Atomic Avenue and buying comics. It syncs up your collection with your status. It also downloads the latest updates. If you have 2 or 3 a week, it'll download it 2 or 3 times a week automatically in the background. It'll compress your database, which is kind of like optimizing your database. And the next thing it does is it backs up your database to the cloud in the event that your computer goes haywire. You could always get your downloaded database, reinstall it on another computer, and then you'll be back, you know, back up and running. Little different than a lot of the databases that people are using where they're all in the cloud. So their entire collection's in the cloud, and they're really exporting to their PC the data that they need or on their phone. I kind of like it this way because I'm old school where I control everything. And then, but anyway, I posted the screenshot of the error, and they resolved it by the time I came home from work today, so I was pretty happy. Before I started recording, I did an update, a manual one, instead of using Sidekick, because you could open the app and say "update database," and you know it'll update. So I did that. I wonder why I started talking about that. But anyway, Rorschach, an old comic creator, Meyerson, modeled after Steve Ditko, teams up with Laura the Kid to go after a politician running against Redford, because in the comic books, Robert Redford is president. They get killed. So you have your main characters get killed, and then a lot of the issues after that is like what led up to that. There's a detective trying to uncover the mystery. There is another Rorschach that is in prison that the kid was working with in the circus. Two issues talk about Laura, raised by her father, her gun touting father, I said, and then Meyerson's backstory. He's like a recluse comic artist, drawing pirate comics because of Watchmen and the Pirate Link, but very much modeled after Steve Ditko. And in future issues, you have like characters modeled after like Frank Miller and all kinds of stuff. It's crazy good. So that mystery is going on. And then we have Necromorphis, which we talked about. Our main character infiltrates a dying Hollywood mogul and is now in his body. One thing I forgot to tell you about this character is this teen, and I don't even know. I know it's a male, and he's probably in his late teens, has the ability to touch the bones of the dead and assume their image and memories. So, like, if he touch Shakespeare, he'd be Shakespeare. And he could touch a woman and then turn genders. Yeah, but it's really crazy, and it's crazy good. The next 5 out of 5 is Astonishing Tales, number 25, volume 1. This is the first appearance of Deathlok. Yes, I picked this one up. He was a colonel that was disfigured and had missing limbs, and they turned him into a cyborg. The colonel's gaining control over the Deathlok. The major that's there is also cybernetic, and also there's a Doug Munch, George Perez making of the comic book, which was very unique to this tale. But this is a lot of fun. Inferior 5, number 5, is the comic book that I never thought we'd see. They kind of ended it during COVID, and then it had no plans for renewal, and it's only available digital right now. So 5 came out, and then 6 came out, which I haven't downloaded or bought yet from Comixology, which I'll probably do this weekend. Download 6 and then read the finale. And then in the latest DC Connect, they're soliciting the trade. So the singles only go through 1 through 4. You have to finish it digitally or get the trade. I'm gonna double dip on that and get the trade as well as finish the story in digital form. So that is the Dominators are going after the kids to terminate them. Brother Power, which was really cool to see, because Brother Power the Geek was one of the very obscure. I told you my love of obscure characters, and this guy had two issues, and he was like a doll-looking hippie. And he reaches out to them to warn them telepathically, and also says he has someone coming to the rescue, i.e. Peacemaker. And then Peacemaker is making his way to Arizona. Peacemaker is written by Jeff Lemire and drawn by Jeff Lemire. It looks amazing if you're a Jeff Lemire fan. I love the way it looks. The only complaint I had in this is the Keith Giffen art was not inked by Koblish, which made it look different. So it doesn't have that same flow, but it's still really cool. I gave it a 5 out of 5, and it was the top read for that week. And then we get into April 5th through April 11th. And I don't know what happened that week. I really wish I would have taken notes, but guess what? You're not going to guess this. I had zero comic books. Oh, I remember what happened with this. I was on a business trip this week. I was in LA and I did not read a single comic book. That's what happened. I remember now. But I did watch a lot of TV on Netflix. And the 4 out of 5s were Monster Hunter. I actually watched that on the plane. That was about a military female officer and her crew, or some of her crew, that get put in on this monster world during this event. And then they're just trying to live in this monster world and then get back to where they know civilization is on Earth. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy, and it was a lot of fun. The other 4 out of 5 I watched on Netflix. This one I watched again, thinking I wouldn't get captivated, but I could have it on in the background. But I got sucked back in. Is we have Machete Kills Again. This is the sequel to Machete, and I watched it again and really enjoyed it. On the HBO front, we had Godzilla vs. King Kong. This must have been when I got back. My wife and I watched this on HBO Max. Really fun, as expected, Battle of Monsters. I enjoyed it quite a bit. And then I'm working on that Netflix at this time, on the Netflix show called Who Killed Sarah, which is from Spain, I believe. And so you have to read the. Actually, I did the voiceover in English. I think I did on this one, and really enjoyed that. It's ridiculous at first, but then it becomes like this soap opera about the death of this female and how intricate it was plotted, and it lasted up till the you think you find who actually did kill Sarah. And then it's concluded, and then there's a second season. So Netflix awarded it a second season, and I just haven't gotten into it yet. And then the 5 out of 5s were Unhinged. This one I watched on the plane over to LA, and this is about this road rage essentially, which is kind of weird because in LA I thought I would run into some road rage, but. It is about a guy that's driving, and he looks like he's sort of in a bad shape, maybe lost his job, is in deep depression, lost his wife or whatever. And somebody honks at him and says, "Get out of the road, you're blocking the traffic." And she's a female with was it her son? Yeah, it was her son. And then he spends the rest of the movie trying to kill them. But yeah, it's a crazy movie. And then the other 5 out of 5, this movie I've seen a gazillion times. It was on Netflix. It's super bad. Love that movie. Continue to love it. And anytime it's on, I'll watch it. That takes us to April 12th through April 18th. There were couple of 4 out of 5 shows. There was Clarice. We actually finished the first season. I don't think that's going to conclude on CBS anymore. I think it's moving to Paramount Plus, and we'll have to catch it there, just like Evil, which is another show that I've absolutely loved. The other 4 out of 5 is The Head. I started that. That was an HBO Max. That's kind of like a horror murder mystery in the remote Antarctic amongst researchers, and someone's murdered, and then it continues with many, many murders. I'd recommend that. I did finish that. And then Falcon and Winter Soldier. I watched more episodes of that, which was really enjoyable. That week, I only had 14 comics. One Marvel, one Titan, one Scout, one Kickstarter, four Image, one Heavy Metal, two DC, one Aftershock, and two Ablaze. The 3 out of 5s were Eros and Psyche from Ablaze Comics. Sarah is accepted into a school, and it looks like the head student has a thing for her. That's pretty much all I got out of that one. That's why I gave it a 3 out of 5. Art was beautiful. Story was just an intro. The other 3 out of 5, I probably would have given this a 4 out of 5, but I gave it a 3 out of 5. This was Cutting Edge, the Siren Song. Really like the premise in this one. The Leviathan Corporation puts highly talented individuals with unique expertise around the world on teams to compete in a very, very strange competition. Yeah, it was kind of interesting. It's from Titan Comics. I think I liked it more after me and Bill discussed it on Geek Brunch. That would have boosted it up. But let's leave it where I put it originally. Then we jump into the 4 out of 5s. This was also read for Geek Brunch. Midnight Western Nation. This is a 4 out of 5. Midnight Western Theater. It opens up with the father taking his young daughter out west, then cuts to a town where three bandits kill the local sheriff and mayor and take over that whole town, and they are confronted by a vampire and his companion on a death horse. Kind of cool. That's from Scout Comics. We have Ultra Mega Number One. This is a kaiju type thing. There are three Super Sentai to protect us from kaiju. One is always on the job looking for a vacation. One is young and developing robots to fight the kaiju. And the other one's kind of like a hermit type. And at the end of the issue, they all die. So you're like, what the fuck's going to happen now? So that's Ultra Mega. I liked it a lot more than I thought I would. And it's like super size. I think the comic book is like $7.99 from Image Comics. And it's probably like 2.5 issues, if not three, in terms of size. We then have from Marvel Comics giant size super villain team up. This is Namor rescues Doctor Doom from the water and then proposes a team up. Doctor Doom recalls a previous team up in which Doctor Doom saved Namor but wanted to turn over his Atlantean armies over to him so he could conquer more stuff. But Namor refused to do so. Then recalls a team up that did not go well with Diablo and his former lover, Valeria. It's weird how Reed names his daughter Valeria too, isn't it? And then Dr. Doom is trying to train her in future issues, so I don't know what that says. You got the new Shadowhawk from Image Comics. I was reading this entire series, but this is 6 and 7. Tome continues to travel through time and meet up with other historical versions of Shadowhawk. In this one, he meets up with the Northern Hawk, which is in Viking times, and this is penned by Kurt Busiek, if I remember correctly. The Bone Man is trying to destroy Tome. Christina is arrested by Captain Reeves. Captain Reeves is trying to, during this whole thing, trying to find out who the new Shadowhawk is. Leads him down paths where he finds that Shadowhawk is many characters, at least he thinks, and maybe that's true. Then Shadowhawk appears in his office and he thinks it is some, and then Jax shows up. They both show up in his office, so he's like, what's going on? And Shadowhawk brings in the gas house rapist. So all the people that he thought were Shadowhawk, now he doesn't think they're Shadowhawk because Shadowhawk brought into his office a villain. We have Eerie Magazine number 2 and 3, a horror anthology, and last, which is a lot of good horror stories if you're into creepy or eerie. This eerie is spelled EYRIE, and it's a Kickstarter. And then there's Creeps, which is kind of like creepy. And if you read the back matter on this, there's kind of a rivalry between the Eerie Magazine, a Kickstarter, and the Warrant publishing of Creeps and Vampira Camellia. So, or Vampirus Camellia. I can't remember what that's called. And then the last 4 out of 5 was Heavy Metal number 304. A really good anthology. I'm surprised. And cutting magazines and stuff, I'm gonna keep the Warrant magazines and Heavy Metal, but take out Rebellion just because I'm missing a lot of issues. There was issues during the COVID that caused me to miss some issues through DCBS, and I'm just like, ah, with an anthology, you can't really miss issues because there's short stories continued in the next volume, and you end up missing the story. We then have the five out of fives. We have Rorschach number 7, shows how Meyerson and Laura became friends, which we talked about in the previous issue, by actually being pen pals. And then we get into Joker number 1 from DC Comics. After a day, Gordon is propositioned. After a day, which is when Joker killed a bunch of people, Gordon is propositioned in his retirement to kill the Joker by a beautiful young woman named Cressida. Punchline is dealing with her recent imprisonment. She has a cult following that wants her freed. Leslie sends Bluebird to look into her and her followers. Looks like she wants enemies in prison. Looks like she has enemies in prison. This is Punchline, by the way, with the Royal Flush Gang. We then have Kaiju Score from Aftershock number 1. This was a lot of fun. A guy assembles a group of heists for a heist that consists of a bunch of failures. Like, these guys have all failed in everything they've ever done. Their goal has something to do with a fish and its migration path, in which kaiju are attracted to. He convinces a crime lord to finance the heist to gain a valuable painting during a kaiju attack. It was a lot of fun. I recommend it if that sounds interesting to you. Carmen number 1. This is Cat commits suicide. This is Gilliam March. One of really good story. 5 out of 5. Cat commits suicide and she recalls her life and love with someone entirely, and he's not really committed to her. Carmen visits her. Carmen's the like death visits her to after she's dead. She's naked and dead, by the way. She spent her entire life being insecure, and now she has a ghost watching over her and telling her about her abilities. And she spends a lot of time looking after her boyfriend, which didn't really seem like her boyfriend. From her eyes, it was her boyfriend, but not through his eyes. Gung Ho Sexy Beast number 3. This is from Ablaze. This comic's one of my favorites. This is archers trying to survive outside of an outpost. Zack is Archer actually got kicked out of the outpost. Zack is his brother, trying hard to prove his brother's innocence. He gets adopted by his enemy's family because those are the rules of the outpost, that if you're underage and you lose your who's taking care of him, which is his brother, he lost him, he has to go to somebody else. And they draw names out of a hat and say, oh, this is the family you're going to. Really cool. What this reminds me of is like a post-apocalyptic Cobra Kai, because you have like the rivalry gangs going on like you do with Cobra Kai. It's a lot of fun. It's from Ablaze Comics. And then finally, we're gonna jump into the final week of April. Well, that's not the final week, but April 19th through April 25th. We're gonna talk about things we watched first. 3 out of 5s were Deathstalker. This movie's a cheesy, old sword and sorcery barbarian flick that I'll sometimes watch these cheesy B film movies during times when I'm bagging and boarding comics, because I've already seen them and they're not that engrossing, but they're cheesy fun. And that's Deathstalker. I got a phone call, but it was silence because it's probably junk. And then the next one is Mortal Kombat on HBO. Watch that. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. I don't think Barb liked it too much. She kind of started walking out. Said, "Go ahead and watch it by yourself." Then again, the 4 out of 5s. We saw some more Clarice on YouTube. We saw a YouTube. I saw a YouTube thing on John Byrne and The Head, which we talked about in the previous episode, which is that HBO murder mystery in the Antarctic. The 5 out of 5s were Falcon and Winter Soldier for that week. The History of Image Comics, So Much Damage. Todd McFarlane, Like Hell I Won't, also on YouTube with The History of Image Comics, So Much Damage. And the last thing was Grindhouse, Death Proof, just the Death Proof, Stuntman Mike. Ah, oh, God, I love that. I've seen that one about a dozen times. So for comics wise, there were 20 comics, 1 Marvel, 3 Kickstarters, 5 Image, 1 IDW, 6 DC, 1 Dark Horse, 1 Boom Studios, and 2 Ablaze. So we're hitting past the hour mark, so I'm going to try to wrap this up. The 3 out of 5s, we had OBS, The Devil Went Down to Georgia. This is a No Sleep Evolution, but not by Marcel Dupree. I didn't care for this one, tell you the truth. Kisa Jensda grew up on the streets of the Soviet Union. She now is the U.S. newest member of the occult Secret Service. A satanic sorceress destroys a hospital in an attempt to open a portal to hell. Kisa and the others are called into action to stop this, and they do have success. It sounds better than I actually liked it, but I gave it a 3 out of 5, which means I liked it. We had Let Them Live number 4. Most part for Let Them Live, these are the ambush bug narrated stories of the inventory stories that DC never published. This is a Kid Flash story where a teacher is possessed and bringing the kids into a zombie world. Kid Flash and the daughter of the teacher turn the tide when the father gains control of his conscience. That was all right. Let Them Live 4 and 6 were my least favorites. The other ones, there was one that was a 5 out of 5. That was a Batman one. The Nightwing one was pretty tight. There's been a couple others that I really enjoyed. Overall, it's good. Really good, I would say on average. This one was a digital comic only. There's no print copy of that from DC. Eros and Psych number 2. This is a girl commits suicide at the school, and one gets the impression that once you enter the school, you can never leave. It's kind of like Hotel California, at least it appears to at this point. We have Batman Fortnite number 0. Batman sees Harley get sucked into an alternate dimension. Later, he and Catwoman lose the memories as they are sucked into the Fortnite world and fighting Fortnite characters. So that takes us to the 4 out of 5s. We have Future State Suicide Squad 1 and 2. Amanda Waller forms a Justice Squad with Connor Superman. That's Connor Kent. It's not Jonathan Kent, so don't get confused. This is Connor. From Cadmus, the half Luthor, half Superman, grown clone. We have Clayface, which is Martian Manhunter, the Fisherman, which is Aquaman, Bolt, who's the Flash, and a lot of these characters. The confusing thing about this is how this ties into how Future State ties into the current ongoing Suicide Squad, because you think that this takes place way in the future, but really this is almost like a prequel, so it's very strange. And then Talon is the Batman version. Hypnotic Woman is Wonder Woman. It is up to Peacemaker and his Suicide Squad, Parademon, Mirror Master, Evil Star, Cheetah, to stop them. The second story is about the Justice League 1,000,000, which is Resurrection Man and Black Adam, trying to stop the Unkindness, the Seven Deadly Sins, Child, Teakle, Dove, and Vandal Savage. We then get into Celestine. This is from Image Comics, from Rob Liefeld's. I think at this time it was his Youngblood imprint. I'm trying to remember what the his imprint was. I can't think. Extreme Studios. This continues from Violator versus Bad Rock, and it's written by Alan Moore. Kind of crazy, isn't it? Celestine was killed by Violator in that series, and this is written by Warren Ellis and drawn by Pat Lee. And this is her trying to escape to make her way out of hell. An evil corporation is trying to resurrect her. We then get to Sister Mercy. This is a Kickstarter that I've really enjoyed. The cardinal who captured the older nun tortures people by dropping an acid on them. Sister Mercy is on her way to rescue the nun with her truck driver to save. They run across a woman and her baby. It turns out the woman stole the baby from the mother with her boyfriend. They find out that the baby she is carrying is dead and throw her out of the cab of the truck where she's devoured by zombies. So they thought they were helping a woman and her baby, and they realize that who they picked up is totally evil. I really like this. Also, like an NC-17 version of a comic book because there's nudity and other stuff going on in there, extreme violence. And Sister Mercy. Warbound number one. This is a Marcel Dupuis book. It's about an immortal who has been placed in prison. The psychiatrist that is interviewing him is trying to find out more about this immortal who has a goal of taking out a sorcerer who killed everyone in his village in the past. He's kind of like a immortal Vandal Savage kind of guy. Very similar to Berserker, but the next Berserkers number one is from Image Comics. It's not Berserker with Keanu Reeves. This is Berserkers number one. The Berserkers are a team that is trying to take out the evil Darkthorn and his legion. They consist of Greylore. He's like Block, Hatchet, a female with an axe. Psystorm has psi powers. Wildmane, he's like Wolverine. And their leader, Cross, is like Cap. They're captured and tortured by Tyrus. They break out with the help of Dio and get into the weapons repository, and Tyrus is furious. We have Last Witch number four. Last Witch, her brother and grandmother are now treated as outsiders, and witches. They are sort of rescued by the fairy type character who teams up with them to track down the evil witch that killed her father and all the people of her town. That's from Boom Studios, kind of like an all ages, but not because it's so dark. It's like one of those all ages books that sort of crosses the line a little bit in terms of morbidity. But I guess the themes are pretty clean. It just feels sort of dark. Could scare some kids, I guess, depending on the age. And you do have death of children, so that's always hard to put in a kid's comic. But then you can watch Star Wars and you see all the Jedi kids getting killed by Anakin, so I don't know what to say. Star Wars Adventures number four. The Transdoshians have stolen Qui-Gon and some Wookiees. Ben comes up with a plan to free them along with his Wookiee buddies on Life Day. The second story is about Beckett and Val as the rescue a musician and then have a plans to turn him over to Jabba. Beckett and Val, if you remember, I think they're from Solo. So that's who we're talking about there. We have Star Wars Jabba the Hutt, The Hunger of Princess Nampi. Jabba thinks he can steal and take over another ship, but it is run by Princess Nampi, and she captures Jabba and his entire crew. Little does she know when she marries and eats Scoopa that Jabba planted a weapon in his brain just in case he ever betrayed him. Jabba kills Princess Nappy and frees his crew and takes all of her assets. We have Nocturna number one. This is the last 4 out of 5. On PM day, the light turned off. The dark creatures consume and infect people to become monsters. Our heroine is a truck driver that brings over supplies and people into the safe zones. She is hired by an old man and her granddaughter to take them to a location. Her brother has been infected, and as she is trying to keep him alive from and getting consumed from the disease. Turns out the man might be responsible for PM Day that created these monsters. The 5 out of 5s are Gung Ho. Number 4. This is the Gung Ho Sexy Beast. Number 4. Second volume of the series. I have to put Sexy Beast so we know which one I'm talking about. Holden takes Zack to a private location where Holden is the kid that he doesn't like when he and it had to go live with his family. Holden takes Zack into a private location where there is an old pool and they use arrows to slaughter and behead rippers. Rippers are those like wolf-like creatures that are very prominent and numerous in this post-apocalyptic world. The secret passage is told to Zack, and he wants to use it with his friends to leave the safe zone and rescue his brother. And it's called Operation Sexy Beast. We have Alien Number 2 from Marvel Comics. Gabriel Cruz is told by the corporation that his son broke into the lab and they're going to destroy the station, but he has a chance to save the experiment and goes to the station to get his son with the other two soldiers. The alpha is loose, the alpha alien is loose, and the station is compromised. Chaos ensues. We have Carmen Number 2. Cat is still flying around naked, looking at how people interact in her city, and then runs into Zisco, who is talking to another woman about breaking up with Cat. She is furious and trying to kill herself again, which she cannot. Carmen also has an interesting conversation with someone who is dying on an airplane, and it does not want it to interrupt his flight, but his death is really the passenger she is talking to. So he's talking to Carmen, but Carmen's death. So he's gonna die on this flight, and he's kind of complaining that he's not gonna get to his destination. It's a very thought-provoking series about life and death. And if you don't socialize, do you really cease to exist? It's kind of like if a noise happens in the forest, does it really happen? You know, kind of thing. Have Rorschach Number 7. Now Frank Miller Rorschach is working with the detective to try to find out why the kid and Meyerson were trying to kill the senator, and could it be a secret message from Dr. Manhattan? Sorry about that. Joker Number 2. Jim asks for Batman's help, and he gives him access to Oracle. He knows that Oracle is his daughter and Batgirl, and ends up talking to her. She gives him a phone with limited access to the Batcomputer with Joker information as he is going undercover. He asks Batman to figure out who Cressida is. In Santa Prescott, Bane figures rise up a She-Bane with the purpose to kill the Joker as well. So now two people want to kill the Joker. Desmond runs the network which is a haven for super criminals, and asks him to leave. Desmond is the guy that owns the haven that asked Joker to leave. Joker twisted around, and now Desmond is working with the Joker. Bluebird investigates more about Punchline's followers. Meanwhile, in prison, the Royal Flush Gang girl is working with Orca to kill Punchline. We have Radiant Black Number 3, the top 5 out of 5 book. I love this book so much. Nathan is struggling writing a heist story, and you really see what writer's block really is because it's written like from a perspective of having writer's block. It's so good. His friend helps him come up with a name, Radiant Black, and gives him a Twitter handle so people can actually ask for help. Some guy and his family are on the way to a game, and they get a flat tire and use the Radiant Black handle to get help. He flies to them in the game, He flies them to the game. Love the feel of this book, and the heist story was prose was awesome. So yeah, I really dug it. And that wraps up the comics for that month almost. The 5 out of 5s we had are quite a few. We have Gung Ho, Sexy Beast, Alien, Carmen, Rorschach, Joker, Radiant Black, Kaiju Score. What else do we got? Inferior 5, Astonishing Tales, Necromorphous, and Rorschach. So yeah, there's a lot of 5 out of 5s. I want to thank you for listening. If you want to reach me or send me questions, you can do that through Twitter. They'll get answered as I get them. And you could also send me email at mike@comicbooknoise.com. The Twitter account is Mike Myers Brunch, at Mike Myers is MYERS, and then Brunch is BRUNCH. So thank you for listening, and you can also get the shows on geekbrunchpodcast.com or go to Facebook and search for Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button, follow all the episode threads there, and send feedback. It'd be much appreciated. Well, thank you for listening, and you guys have a great 4th of July weekend. Bye-bye.